Welcome back. In this lesson, we're diving into Retro Rave Jungle Sub, and the real focus is warping and arranging inside Ableton Live 12, using the edits area like a proper jungle editor. This is advanced territory, so the goal is not just to make a loop that sounds cool, the goal is to make a section that feels like a finished record. Tight low end, chopped break energy, rave stabs that hit like memory flashes, and an arrangement that moves with purpose. What makes this style so effective is the tension between three things. You've got a human, slightly messy break, you've got a strict, controlled sub, and you've got a rave sample or stab that acts like a hook, a signal, or a warning light. When those three are arranged well, you get that classic jungle rush, but with modern DJ-friendly clarity. So let's build this the smart way. First, choose source material with actual edit potential. You want three ingredients: a classic style drum break, a clean sub source, and some kind of rave fragment. That could be a piano stab, a synth chord, a vocal hit, even a resampled old school phrase. Don't worry about perfection here. In fact, a slightly cheesy or rough sample often works better because once you chop it and filter it, it becomes attitude. Drop each element onto its own track and label them clearly. Think break raw, sub, and rave hook. Clear naming matters more than people think, especially once you start duplicating clips and building variations. Now let's warp the break for jungle and DNB. Warp the break for groove first, not for surgical perfection. Open the clip and use beats mode if the source has strong transients, which most breaks do. Set the preserve value around 1/16th or 1/8th, depending on how dense the break is. Keep the transient control strong enough to keep the hits crisp, but not so aggressive that the break starts sounding hard-edited and brittle. And at first, turn looping off so you can focus on getting one phrase right. The big idea here is simple: only place warp markers where the groove actually needs correction. Don't flatten every bit of life out of the break. A little drift, a little drag, a tiny bit of unevenness, that can all help the break feel alive. Anchor the downbeat, line up the main snare backbeats, and then leave the ghost notes with some personality. If a flam or a slight push feels good, keep it. That little bit of damage is part of the vibe. A very useful move is to duplicate the break clip and make a second warped version. One can be your main groove, and the other can become a fill or switch up. That gives you built-in variation without needing to search for more samples. Now slice it. Right-click the warped break and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transient. If the break is already pretty tight, you may want to lower the sensitivity a bit so you don't accidentally slice noise into 100 little pieces. Once it's in a drum rack, you can start thinking like an editor instead of just a looper. Program a 1-bar or 2-bar pattern using the slices. Then start removing obvious hits. That's the part people forget. In this style, the empty space is part of the groove. Don't fill every gap. Let the break breathe. A few strong edit ideas here. Repeat a snare tail for momentum. Place a tiny ghost hit before bar 2 or 4. Cut one kick slightly late in the phrase to create tension, or use a reverse slice into the downbeat. These little edits are what make the loop feel authored. Use velocity shaping hard. Main snares should stay strong, ghost notes much lower, and accent fills somewhere in between. And before you reach for compression, use clip gain if one slice is poking out too far. That keeps the transient shape cleaner and more controlled. Now build the sub around the drums, not the other way around. Load operator or wave eatable on a MIDI track. If you want a pure sub, operator is perfect. Keep it simple. Sine wave, other oscillators off, short envelope, fast attack, modest decay, and a release that doesn't smear into the next note. Then make the sub mono. Utility is your friend here. Keep the width at zero and leave headroom. The sub phrase should answer the break, not fight it. This is where call and response becomes important. Don't just play notes constantly. Write a phrase that leaves space for the snare and break accents to speak. Maybe the first bar is a held root note, the second bar has a couple of shorter notes after the snare, the third bar has a pickup into the next phrase, and the fourth bar settles back down. A good rule: leave at least one beat of real space in each 2-bar phrase. In jungle, the absence of a note can hit harder than another note. If you want to shape the sub, do it gently. A little saturator, a small EQ cut if the low mids are muddy, and utility to keep it mono. If you want extra character, put the grid on a parallel return instead of over-distorting the main sub. High pass the dirty return so it adds definition without wrecking the true low end. And here's a major teacher note: the sub should be felt more than heard. If it sounds huge soloed but disappears in the mix, check how it interacts with the kick, the break's lowest hits, and the snare anchor. In this style, low-end clarity matters way more than solo power. Now let's handle the rave hook. Treat the hook like a rhythmic object, not just a melodic sample. Warp it carefully. Use Complex Pro for full musical material, or Beats Mode if it's more of a stab with punch. Trim the clip tightly so the attack lands exactly where you want it. Then chop it into short, useful fragments. Think 1/8 or 1/4 stabs, offbeat hits, or short call and response phrases with the snare. This is where retro rave really comes alive. The hook should feel like a memory flash. Not a pad. Not a constant layer. A flash. Process it with movement and restraint. Auto filter is great for build-ups, slowly sweeping the cutoff open. Echo can add a short, filtered tail that gives the stab some haunted space. Reverb should be short and controlled, with the low end filtered out so it doesn't smear the mix. If the hook is too dominant, your track will start sounding soft instead of sharp. Keep it selective. Let it mark transitions, lifts, and switch-ups. Now the arrangement. Work in 8-bar blocks. That's a great way to keep things DJ-friendly and clear. Start with an intro where the break is filtered and dusty, maybe with a hint of the rave hook, but no full sub yet. Then bring in the first drop with the full break, the sub phrase, and just enough hook to keep it interesting. After that, create a switch-up section where the break changes, a few stabs drop out, and the energy resets. Then come back with a second drop that's a little heavier, a little more detailed, maybe with one extra ghost note or a more aggressive fill. Finish with an outro that thins the arrangement so it's mixable. Think of arrangement like Lego blocks. Duplicate your best 2-bar break edit. Make alternate bars with one extra kick or one missing snare. Move the rave hook so it lands on the start of phrase lines. Put a 1-bar or 2-bar fill at the end of each 8-bar section. That's what gives the track momentum and identity. A really important advanced mindset here is to think in two grids at once. Let the break feel human, but keep the sub and hook more controlled and strict. That contrast is part of what makes the style bounce. Now automate energy, not just effects. In this kind of tune, automation should announce change. It should say, new section, riser, drop, or switch up. Good targets are filter cutoff on the hook, reverb sent into a fill, gain on the hook, so some stabs feel distant, drive on the drum bus for the second drop, or delay feedback only on the last beat of a phrase. On the drum bus, keep compression light. Blue compressor with just a little gain reduction can help the break and edit sit together, but don't squash the life out of it. If the break loses snap, back off immediately. Group your drums together on a drum bus, and keep sub or bass elements grouped separately if you add more layers. On the drum bus, use light EQ cleanup and subtle glue. If you want a bit of extra aggression, drum bus can help, but keep it modest. During writing, leave headroom. Peaks around minus 6 dB is a good working target. And now the big question. Does it feel like a real tune? That's the DJ logic check. Where is the mix-in point? Where does the energy reset? Does the second drop escalate, or just repeat? Do the first 16 bars give away the hook too early? Is the outro actually mixable? Sometimes the best switch-up is not adding more. Sometimes it's removing the sub for half a bar, dropping the hook completely, letting the break hit alone, and then slanting back in on the next downbeat. That kind of restraint is what gives the tune impact. A few common mistakes to watch for. Overwarping the break kills the natural swing. Making the sub too busy steals space from the drums. Letting the rave hook dominate the mix turns the whole thing into a loop instead of a track. And overcompressing the drum bus can destroy the punch that makes jungle feel alive. If the arrangement feels flat, don't always add another layer. Sometimes the better move is to remove one obvious thing and rebalance the response between drums, sub, and hook. If you want to push this further, try a ghost grid variation. Keep the main kick and snare anchors the same, but alternate different ghost notes every 8 bars. Or try a negative space bass line, where the sub deliberately avoids the downbeat and answers in the cracks between break hits. You can also make two hook versions, one dry and punchy for the drop, one washed and filtered for transitions, and automate between them. Here's a great quick practice approach. Build a small 8-bar section using one break and one rave sample. Warp the break in Beats Mode, slice it to MIDI, program a 2-bar jungle edit with a ghost note and a dropped hit, write a 2-bar sub phrase with space, chop the rave sample into a few short stabs, and arrange the whole thing in 8 bars with a filtered intro, a main groove, a filler switch-up, and a heavier reprise. Then add just one automation lane. Filter, reverb, or saturation. Keep it simple but musical. The real goal here is to make the edit language do the heavy lifting. In retro rave jungle, the track works because every section feels like an event. The break hits with character, the sub answers with discipline, the hook flashes in and out like a signal from another era, and the whole arrangement moves like a proper club record. So keep the snare readable, protect the low end, leave deliberate damage, and let the spaces hit as hard as the notes. That's how you turn a cool loop into a track that actually bangs.